T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
It's time for MLB Pitch, Hit, and Run, the official youth skills competition of Major League Baseball. Host a local event and give kids in your community a chance to compete in the Pitch, Hit, and Run finals at the 2024 MLB World Series. Sign up for free at pitchhitrun.com.
Mully and Hall, up early to start your day with Chicago sports talk.
We go ham.
Time to catch you up on this morning's show so far.
Are the White Sox tanking for Trevor Lawrence? And does someone need to intercede with Ricky Renteria's lineups?
I hope there's a plan here of some sort. It'd be great to know that this was on purpose and that they understood that the future was going to be brighter than what we're looking at currently. Having said that, I really do think someone needs to tell Ricky to knock it off. I get the whole idea of going righty-lefty and all that, but the lefty has to be able to hit. I don't know what the hell Ricky's doing. I would say first things first, move Louis Robert up in the lineup. Period, end of story. I mean, I know you're trying to protect him, but you don't have many people that are doing much, so you need him. And you need to rely on him a little bit more. Settle in on a lineup and stop being cute about it.
Mully and Hall.
I get a kick out of you guys.
Taking you to work every morning from 5 to 9.
Chris Bryant got the night off with what the Cubs called a minor elbow issue, but he also might have needed it after starting 1-for-17. How worried about Bryant should the Cubs be? Should they move him down in the order off the leadoff spot to see if the old KB returns?
Well, they're winning, so I think they don't need to overreact. I think if they're committed to him as the leadoff hitter, then I think they need to go through with this and continue it, because you have to give the guy who has proven himself to be a pretty reliable offensive player a chance to get acclimated. And it is a small sample size. He is 1-for-17. Probably needed the night off. The only, I think, maybe bright spot from his statistics, you look at the numbers a little deeper, he did, through 4 games before his night off, lead major league hitters in pitches seen with 93. And he's a guy that has shown some selectivity at the plate, trying to do what good leadoff hitters do. Is he trying too hard to adjust? I do think that he has earned the confidence they expressed in him yesterday. It helps when you're 4-1, and it helps when you do get starting pitching that gives you a chance each and every game. And it helps when Javi Baez starts to look like Javi Baez again.
Mully and Hall on 670 The Score.
Mully and Hall, Chicago Sports Radio, 670 The Score. We've been having a lot of fun this morning, a lot to sink our teeth into, not the least of which is the baseball season, the Cubs perhaps exceeding expectations, certainly living up to them, looking awful good for themselves. And the White Sox, as a texter said when we checked in this morning, have the White Sox opted out? The Tech Zone brought to you That's by mean. Rosen Hyundai of Algonquin. Save time, shop online at rosenhyundai.com. And we just had another text with someone saying has Jim Boylan infiltrated the Sox because Ricky's coaching like Jim Boylan right now.
Yeah.
Man, I got to tell you, it's just frustrating when a team is so wildly under expectations. You know, you try to hold back, you tell yourself that if they had a winning season, that's all you really are after, and here you go, you're now facing what Dustin says is a statement game for Lucas Giolito and a must win for the White Sox. And I'm not doubting that. I mean, it's a short season. If you go 1-5 in the first 6, the first 2 series against the 2 teams that are ahead of you, it's a major problem.
Pretty bleak. Big night tonight for the White Sox and for Lucas Giolito. He's got it step forward the way aces do. And, Mully, I think that you look at you mentioned the expectations, and you're talking in the context of us. I mean, we expected more from the White Sox. We were happy with the way things looked at summer camp when they got back together. I said that they were the best team in Chicago last Friday morning, and I think a lot of people thought that could be the case. The first spin through the rotation, it's been as simple as the Cubs have gotten starting pitching and the White Sox haven't, beyond Dallas Keuchel. And I wonder, look, overthinking it and overanalyzing it, that's part of our job description. But I do have something I wanted to run by you real quick, because those expectations that we talk about, I do wonder how they will now affect a team that could begin to press because they haven't gotten off to a good start the way everyone expected. And I do wonder about the absence of a crowd. And when you have an atmosphere that is created by the team in the dugout, and I when I saw a tweet talking about all the F-bombs being dropped in the White Sox dugout after things were going poorly yesterday, it just made you wonder, okay, you have this other contrast. You've got a team that wants to be good so badly, wants to be known for its swagger, that is really, really struggling. How are they handling things and the atmosphere they're creating and the vibe that they have and they take to the field and to the plate versus the Cubs, who have a lot of guys who know each other, who have won together, who have lost together, but a veteran group who, when you have an experienced team, they know who they are and they can generate their own enthusiasm. They can sustain that confidence in a when you have to create it, because there is no crowd to feed off of. There's no electricity to kind of, you know, get from the fans or from the crowd and these kind of intangible things that matter in sports. Are the White Sox going to press and create this sort of bad environment that makes it difficult to dig out of that hole? And do the Cubs have an advantage because of that experience allows them to be as enthusiastic as they clearly are?
You know, I can't get on board with that. I just can't sit here and say the problem is the White Sox can't feed off a crowd when, you know, we've seen how those crowds have been out at Guaranteed Rate Field. And I'm not taking shots here. I'm just speaking the truth. I think that is a team that is not living up to expectations. You know, when you were as enthusiastic about the White Sox as you were a week ago, I kind of felt like there was a certain malecki going on, no offense, and it was really about the way people were betting them. They just hadn't done it yet, and you had to see it unfold. And my expectation was, all I want is a 500 plus season, right? A winning season. I said 31 games, and you were mad at me for lowering the bar, but that was the only way. This is the only way I could get to a winning season. And I had the Cubs, I think, at 32 because I thought they were going to struggle a little bit.
Right.
So I was absolutely wrong about how good the Cubs are and how good David – I thought David Ross would have an acclimation period, and he's really come out. We've seen a different part of his personality. I know that he apologized for a certain amount of his grumpiness. He's not tolerating fools anymore, right? He's just kind of he's in a totally different mode than he was when – when he was here and talking during the championship run. But as far as the Sox are concerned, you know, it's just been one misstep after another. You know, from Johan coming down early and then Kopech opting out, just little things that started to snowball on them and they just couldn't stop it. And we have not seen them get the clutch hit and come back from behind. I thought all the problems we saw in the season were on display yesterday.
Yes.
You know, the starters giving up runs early and creating a hole. The offense, you know, able to come back a little bit, but not entirely. And, you know, losing as they did, not getting clutch hits. And it's just we have yet to define the roles of this team. And I don't know. I think in such a short season, David, I'm worried that by the time you do, it's going to be too late.
And there's a snowball effect. You worry about them not being able to recover. And I think the first week has kind of provided us, we fixate on the managers and we focus on their moves and their mannerisms and how they handle themselves. And you're right about David Ross. I think he doesn't suffer fools. He's been maybe a little bit more hard-edged as a manager than we saw as a broadcaster and as a player. And I think, you know, defining moments in the first week was day one for him. When he went out to the mound to look at Kyle Hendricks in the eye in the ninth inning And yeah, because an old catcher wanted to see how his pitcher was doing, but he was the manager too, and he could have replaced him, and he didn't. That was telling, and that was symbolic, I think, of a guy that is believing in his players are going to handle things a little bit differently. And in contrast, unfortunately, Ricky Renteria has been defined this first week by some very peculiar lineup decisions and this faith in Nicky Delmonico, while everyone else is raving about Luis Robert, understandably so, but it just doesn't make any sense. So you have the illogical Ricky Renteria and sort of the intense David Ross, and they have contrasted in a way that we can't ignore. And it's only 1 week, but you're right. The Sox can't lose because you can't get behind in this 60-game season and expect to come back when you're not hitting into the clutch and you're not getting starting pitching.
312-644-6767. Let's try Bob. He's in Bolingbrook. Hey, Bob.
Hey, Bob.
Hey, guys. How you doing?
Good.
Yeah, I just wanted to talk more about the construction of this team. Like, I don't understand why we signed Encarnacion and Grandal when we needed Eloy to play DH. Eloy cannot play left field. You can't teach him to play left field. Literally, you can't put him out there anymore. I don't care if it says LF by his name. He's not a left fielder. And Grandal, we paid him $20 million a year. We have an all-star catcher. There's a left fielder, a dynamite defensive left fielder out there that costs about $20 million. His name's Puig. I don't understand why all of this went down. The Encarnacion and Grandal are totally screwing up our lineup.
Can't agree there. I can't agree that those were bad moves.
Whoa.
Thank you, Coop. I'm with you all the way. Whoa. Those were good moves. The offseason was a productive one, Mully. You just have to have people do what they're paid to do and do it sooner.
Did you see the little thing that's going on with Nelson Cruz where, you know, he batters the White Sox on in the opening series, and he's named the player of the week, American League player of the week, and then he tweets out how hard work pays off, and the former Twins reliever Casey Fine jumps on and says, really? Hard work pays off, says a player that got caught using PEDs and blamed it on stomach infection. And that is accurate. He got caught when he was 32 with using PEDs. And you know, I got to tell you, since he's turned 32, since that happened, he's – how old is the guy, 40? And he's
40.
Got 10 RBI in the first year. I mean, come on now. Maybe that's the problem. Maybe you need a guy that has a little bit more, you know, in his tank, if you know what I'm saying. I don't know, but that's a dodgy one, and it's upsetting to have a former pitcher come back by that. He says he after he said that, he doubled down because he got a lot of pushback, and he said, wow, I'm amazed at how many people can defend Cruz. We reward those who cut corners and cheat to get ahead. At age 32, most home runs in a season, 33. At age of 32, lowest number of home runs in a season, 37, with 40 home runs a season. Hard work pays off in all.
That was some good fire from a former pitcher, a pitcher to Nelson Cruz. That wasn't my favorite kind of brushback of the night, though, Mully, in Major League Baseball. Did you see Joe Kelly for the Dodgers and the whole thing with Carlos Correa? Oh my gosh. Joe Kelly did what he did. He throws behind him. Then he strikes out Correa, and he basically defended the Dodgers, went after the Astros, and now is being hailed this morning in L.A. as the Dodger for life. I mean, he belongs now. Even though he wasn't on the 2017 team that was considered to have the World Series stolen from them from Houston,
right,
he stood up for the Dodgers. And I don't advocate throwing a baseball at somebody at 100 miles per hour or 95 as a way to get even. But I just am laughing at his expressions after he struck out Correa, and then he mouthed and made that sort of – that look that you see on every second grader's face when they're trying to make it kind of, I got you. And it was juvenile, maybe, but it was definitely welcome sight in L.A.
We'll welcome Bruce Levine into the program next. We'll ask him, is anybody on the hot seat? is there anybody, I don't know, maybe somebody on the south side on the hot seat? And why not? It's Mully and Haw, Chicago Sports Radio, 670 The Score.
Play ball!
Bruce Levine, 670 The Score baseball analyst.
It is all baseball.
32 years, baseball veteran reporter.
Bruce, I've known you for a number of years now.
Breaking stories faster than a cheetah can run. And as far as I know, cheetahs are speedy.
I went ahead and broke the story on Twitter, and then, of course, had to write a story on the website at 670thescore.com.
Twitter at MLB Bruce Levine.
By the way, I love you in The Wizard of Oz.
Bruce Levine.
Mully and Haw, Chicago Sports Radio, 670 The Score. Bruce Levine is The Score's baseball expert, and he joins us on the Alpamonte Ford Hotline. Alpamonte Ford in Melrose Park. Bruce, good morning. How are you?
Morning, Bruce.
Good morning, guys. How are you doing? And I know White Sox fans aren't feeling so good today. Cub fans a little bit better. Where would you like to start?
Well, I got to start with the lineup card. And listen, I understand that the pitching has been the problem. But nonetheless, I've got tons of friends who are Sox fans, and we've got texters, and everybody just wants to know what is wrong with Ricky. Why is Ricky putting together these lineups in the way that he has? And everyone curious about Nicky Delmonico and what sort of blackmail he must have on Ricky, just that sort of thing.
Ron, right?
What's that? I'm sorry.
I think he drove in a big run yesterday, didn't he?
He did, but, you know, again, he had a hit. You know, it's great.
You know, look, I'm not going to apologize for Ricky Renteria or pretend to know why he makes certain lineups out. I will tell you that both him and David Ross said that it's important to not only just play their starting lineup, but to include everybody so that they're ready to play. Now, obviously, the White Sox haven't looked quite as ready to play as the Chicago Cubs. The records are the opposite right now. And I can see people getting upset about Nicky Delmonico batting fourth in the lineup. You know, that scratches your head for sure. But from the perspective of getting everybody in there, it's worked pretty well for the Chicago Cubs. I mean, everybody that they put in the lineup has hit the ball hard and pitched gone the other way. So with the sample size of five games in, I can see White Sox fans being upset. Mike, I can see you being upset about it. But, you know, this is the way that managers are going to have to manage during these 60 games. They're just not going to be able to throw everybody out there every game. And it's just not going to be that type of season.
Bruce, let's stick with the White Sox then for a second. When do you think we'll see Aloy back in left field? And why are they being so careful handling Luis Robert and keeping him as low in the order as they are?
Just because he's being productive there, and that's been the plan all along, ever since spring training one back in Glendale, where they said, hey, look, we have this special talent here. We know that he's going to be a top-of-the-order hitter somewhere in the first four during his career. But in this particular year, we're going to slow roll it and make sure that we bat him down in an area of comfort where he doesn't try to max out over what he can do and just relax. And I don't know about you guys, but I've seen a very relaxed player there that looks like, you know, the all-star that everybody's projecting him to be for the next 10 or 15 years. He's played great. He's hit the ball well. He hasn't, I mean, you see him occasionally go for a pitch outside of the zone. You saw it yesterday with him striking out, but I don't know. Don't you guys think he's been on top of his game so far?
Yes, which is why he should be batting fourth or fifth, or not seventh.
Mm-hmm. I get it. You know, I get it. You know, but again, their way of looking at this season is we're going to try to win, but we're still bringing along young players, and we're going to put them in role of success where we think they'll be most successful, and that's where we're going to start them. I mean, I will say I don't necessarily agree with it, but I will say that Renteria and the White Sox have been very consistent about it.
When you look at the issues with the first inning, what do you think's going on with the pitching staff? Why is the first inning so challenging?
Well, first of all, I mean, we're looking at unfinished products, okay? I mean, we're looking at some really talented young pitchers. Certainly Giolito, certainly Cease, certainly Lopez. But from what we've, you know, other than in this particular rotation, right? Other than Giolito and Keuchel, who was successful last year? Okay, these guys are still developing. So to be disappointed with them, and I am, just like everybody else, I think, is only natural. But to expect them all to have been ready to go and being at the top of their game right now, I mean, you know, Lopez came off of a bad year, 2018. He was a much different pitcher. Cease came up in the middle of last year, pitched pretty well, but, you know, the numbers show that he had a lot of work to do. And Rodon's back after 14 months after Tommy John. So if people didn't think there was going to be some building up to getting better, I'd be surprised by that. Lopez and Cease, to me, and I've said it consistently through the whole year, are the most important guys on that team. I expect Giolito to get straightened out. I expect Keuchel to be Keuchel. But those two guys have to give you innings. They have to give you good innings. They have to be six-inning pitchers. If they're not, it's probably going to be a longer season than anybody thought for the White Sox, because no matter how many runs you score, and the White Sox will score runs, that is a productive lineup, they will do that. But without that starting pitching, you know, you can't kid yourself. It's just not going to be there. That bullpen is going to be taxed. It's a very good bullpen. It won't stay that way if it has to continue to throw the innings they've been throwing the first five games.
Let's look at the Cubs, Bruce. They've gotten in total opposite production out of their starting rotation, 4-1 with a 1.8 ERA, 26 strikeouts the first spin through the rotation. Alec Mills, very efficient last night, 10 ground ball outs. John Lester, no hits the night earlier. And then we had Chatwood, who I think was the biggest surprise of the first time through. Why are the Cubs ready? Why were they so ready to go from day one? Was it because Hendricks set the tone, or other things in play?
Were ahead of almost everybody because they were in Arizona, and they continued to pitch like they were in a rotation while they were there the whole time off. So it's obvious that they're pretty much ahead of everybody else. You saw the way they pitched. You know, Hendricks looked like he was in midseason form. Chatwood looked great. So they were on a better plane than the other guys. Lester, by design of the Cubs and by design of himself, at his age, didn't throw quite as much, and therefore he was a slower starter. He pitched outstanding for what he did the other day, but it's obvious he's still building up his innings with Chatwood and Hendricks. They're way above. And Mills to me was the most impressive of all them, because he's going out there and he's throwing pitches. He threw like 15, 16 pitches below 75 miles an hour yesterday. I mean, you're talking about a guy, you know, the old term, you know, if you don't throw it hard, you go the other way, go soft, softer, and softest. And he certainly did that. He kept them off balance yesterday. Even the home run, I think, that Castellanos hit, it wasn't a horrible pitch. It was a sinker that he just inside outed. So I was totally impressed with Mills. And you have to be. He's got such a slow heartbeat. The guy, you know, hasn't really proved much in his career. He comes into the Cubs and, you know, he acts like he belongs there. And that's really indicative of what this first five games have been all about. Other than the four innings that Darvish threw, you know, everybody's looked really good.
What do you make of Chris Bryant's struggles in the leadoff spot? And do you stay with that for how long? I mean, I know how much Chris is a professional hitter and everything, but what is your take?
Yeah, I just think you stay with it. I mean, it's a extended slump. He hasn't looked all that great there. You remember the first game, though, he didn't get any hits, but he saw 28 pitches. So that was something that they wanted to accomplish, something that hadn't been there since Dexter Fowler was there. Fowler was great for a lot of reasons, but the best reason was he brought some swagger, real swagger, to the leadoff spot. And even if he saw it 8, 9, 10 pitches, which he did more often than not, he had this, you know, sense of, hey, I'm gonna let the other pitcher show all the pitches he has, and if I don't do it, you guys behind me will. And that has been kind of missing since Fowler left at the top of the order. And I think you guys would probably agree with that. And to try to harness that back, you know, we definitely haven't seen the comfortability in Bryant's at-bats at this point. But he's the next man up. If you want to go somewhere else, you can. I think Ross will after a while, but I think he's going to stay there for now. The more concern is the elbow. We'll make sure that that's just a minor injury for him right now.
Bruce, anything about the way either team or both reacted to the news about the Marlins and the cancellations or postponements of the games this week?
Well, they're all very concerned, as you would be as well. I mean, it's a very strange feeling. I think the one thing I'm looking for is whether or not guys are just going to start going home, okay? Because they just don't feel comfortable in these arenas. And you know, I don't think anybody would blame them at this point. I do think that Major League Baseball is still doing a fantastic job of isolating these things and making sure by changing the schedule and canceling games that there isn't an outbreak, and that they've isolated the Phillies to make sure that there's no outbreak, and that the Marlin games have been canceled for a week, and that 29 teams really haven't had any positive tests. So from all that, I think they've done a great job. I know the individual teams like the Cubs and White Sox have done extraordinarily well, I believe. So from all of that, I just feel that we're just going to have to expect some of these things happening. Certainly something like the Marlins happening again to another team would cause everybody pause, and probably Major League Baseball would have to consider canceling the season if it went one or two other teams. But I think they're doing everything they can, and I think they should be applauded for what they've done so far.
Thanks, Bruce. Appreciate it. Thanks,
guys,
Bruce.
Have a great day. Give Ricky Renneria at least another week, okay? Just give him one more week. Okay.
All right.
Have a great day.
All right, buddy. You know, we'll ask Ozzy next if he has any thoughts on the lineup. How about that?
All right.
Oh,
let's
that's
do that.
Stupid.
It's Mully and Haw, Chicago Sports Radio 6-7 of the score.
Ozzy Guillen.
I'm the captain of the boat.
Former White Sox manager.
I mean, I don't know how much payment I watch.
I go to watch the All-Star game? Hell no.
Talking the latest around Major League Baseball. Ozzy Guillen.
Mully and Haw, Chicago Sports Radio 6-7 of the score. Always a joy to talk to Ozzy Guillen. He joins us on the Al Pamonte Ford Hotline. Al Pamonte Ford in Melrose Park. Good morning, Ozzy.
Morning, Ozzy.
Hey, morning, guys. What's up? What's going on?
Got to tell you, I was really kind of worked up when you were trending on Twitter yesterday, and everybody was all fired up because you had what I thought was a very very logical and honest question, which is, why is Louis Robert down in the lineup when you're doing all this stuff? It just doesn't make sense to me, and I want to see him get more at-bats. I want to see him more often, and congratulations to you for bringing it up. I don't know why people are afraid to ask.
Well, you'll be honest. You know me. I try to, you know, I was rooting for the White Sox big time, especially this year when I see they have a great offensive ball club, and a couple guys on the lineups don't look the same. But if we believe Robert is what we think he is, it's time to give him the shot to say, hey, listen, Grubb is a player, Grubb is a hitter, and I'm going to give you the minutes at bat I can't give you. And that was the reason. I was like, wow, you know, second game, batting seven, couple guys up front of him. I don't say they should be out there because they have the plan, but I think this kid is our future. He's a guy we got to lean to it in the future. I think we need to put him pressure to see how good he can be. And this kid, you see him play, I don't think he got pressure, man. He enjoyed the game, he played hard, he played the game right, and I tried to give him the many advice I can.
Ozzy, you did a great job yesterday with the doubleheader at NBC Sports Chicago. That's a beautiful studio. You guys are really off to a good start, but the Sox are not. They're 1-4. The expectations are, we know, as high as they were heading into the season. So if you're the manager of a 1-4 team that has been as bad as the Sox have been, how do you approach it? What do you say?
You know, you have to have Winter League experience. It's exactly how many games they play in Winter League. One day, one week you'll be in last place, next week you'll have a chance to be in first or second place. But the one thing about it, not because that, you have to lean and say, oh, we got to get it next week. I think right now we have better ball club than what we show. There's no doubt about it. I think all the starting rotation laid a lot of people down. I don't mind you lose the game or not, but pitching and not give the team opportunity, especially the offense, we have opportunity to stay in the game. They, you know, they fight back a little bit. But every time you take the field, you're down by 3 or 4 runs. Back in your mind, like, oh, my God, we got to score more runs now. And they play pretty good ball clubs. They're pretty good ball clubs. And I would say, you want to be a champ? You got to be the champ. You know, you're not got a boxing match or tennis match. You want to have the belt? You got to be the best ones. And so far, we're not playing good enough. I don't say we play good enough. I think we don't hit good. We don't have the big hits. You know, we're not pitching the way we thought we were going to pitch. And, you know, the question mark is out there. I like Rodon the way he did yesterday. Even people, you know, it was kind of off guard. But in the meanwhile, that guy is always, when I see him pitch, always it's coming from rehab. The way he threw the ball yesterday, I think I like it. I like the way he threw the ball better yesterday when he did it in those spring training games or whatever they call them. Every day they change names about baseball. And hopefully in the next start, he just go out and do what he's supposed to do and keep the team on the game. But it's hard, man. I just spend a lot of my C's. I spend a lot of time. I think you got the best stuff in baseball. You got the best stuff in the White Sox starting rotation. But you not throw a strike, you show you. In the big league, if you don't throw 100, I don't know what's wrong. You have to throw 199 people like you. And you see Lester, Keiko, all these guys going deep, pitch well. They just keep the ball around the plate and make everything do the rest.
What, Ozzy, what went through your head when you saw the Miami Marlins testing positive?
Well, you know what? We know that's going to happen in the season because this is hard to control that virus. And unfortunately, it happened to them. It's happened to a lot of players. We know you're going to be for 1-2 players. Soon 2 players get the virus, people can get it. So many people in baseball, so many people, they try to control that. It's something really you can't control. It's a shame. It's a shame. I was a little scared about what the commissioner, what he's going to talk about, suspend the season or whatever. I think they did the right thing. But right now, we just started the season. You will see more players with the virus because it's even you don't want to go out. You got kids. You got family. You're going out. You are riding airplanes. You go to different clubhouse. That's why, to me, it's not, it's kind of hard. But hopefully we learn from that. It's up to the players to take care of themselves. It's not up to the commissioner. It's not up to the managers. It's not up to anyone. It's up to the players to take care of themselves and make this thing keep going because if they don't, we're going to continue to have that problem.
Ozzy, from a player's perspective, how much do you think those concerns creep into their mentality and maybe affect their approach or distract them in ways that are understandable? And from a manager's perspective, are you sympathetic, would you be, to that reality that there's going to be a lot more on the minds of players perhaps than in any typical season?
No, I have to worry. You know what I mean? I have a lot of guys out there. I saw Dave Martinez talk about. I saw Dusty Baker talk about. People opt out. I have my respect. But right now they're willing to play, and they say we're going to play, then, obviously you have to be careful. You have to be scared because you got family. But in the meanwhile, it's just something you can't control. And, when you say, yes, we're going to play, just do it. You know what I mean? And take the chance. Just take care of yourself and be the best you can be off the field. And hopefully everything going well. But, bosses, like I say, airplanes, so many things people can catch the virus. It's just no matter how good you take care of yourself, you got a chance to do it. You know, I see guys playing shortstop with a mask on their face. Don't use a mask on the face when you play shortstop. Use it in the clubhouse, or use it in the dugout, use it in the hotel rooms. You know what I mean? I got my nephew, he come to Chicago, Adrianza, and we already always see him, we invite him to have dinner in my house, and I respect that. He couldn't leave the room and say, you know, I hope everybody out do the same thing you do. But like I said earlier, it's up to the players, and hopefully this thing continue, and we know how to talk about these 14 players, coaches, and hopefully we know how to talk about, we have to talk about a very tough season. I think MLB did a tremendous job, tried to put everything together next to the Player Association. Hopefully this thing will be the last. We're going to be a couple cases. I know, next 50-something game we got left, we're going to be a couple cases there, here and there, but hopefully it's not a complete team.
Yeah, Ozzie, I guess when we look at the Cubs, they have really started strong, and you got to like that about what they've done. They did have a bad moment with Craig Kimbrell there, and they survived it, and they were lucky to survive it. But generally speaking, as a manager, are you aware when a guy has been brought in and is, you know, does playing time reflect on contract status and management's plan for a player? And does that change in a 60-game season? Do you have to have a shorter leash than you normally would with a guy that struggles to open the year?
Yes, you have, especially if you're a contender, especially if people think you can win. You know what I mean? I understand Ross. I think Ross doing a tremendous job. No matching what he say about his ball club, about baseball. I like it. You can see he's a baseball man. Obviously, next outing, you have to be careful with Kimball. I think he's aware that. I don't think he want to take the ball right away, because the respect, and, you know, Kimbrel is not the guy going to go 1-2-3. You know, he did in the past. But I like when you take him out. I was sweating. I was sweating just watching the game. And I believe Ross also was uncomfortable and about see this guy struggle like that. But I think, you know, I mean, he's a veteran pitcher. I think he's going to be better next time. And he showed Major League Baseball, he showed all the kids, you don't need to throw 99. You need to throw strikes. And that show you strikes mean a lot more. I think location is more important than speed. And everybody in baseball, throw 99. The bat is a land drive, come out his bat at 2,000 miles. Yeah, but you and out. All those numbers is just for TV and fans. And I think Kimbrel is going to be better next time. He went through that last season. One thing I like it, he just still has some life in the ball, 96, 97. And he just goes there and throws a strike. That's all you have to do.
Ozzie, if you would send Eloy Jimenez back out to left field, how would you help him improve to the point where he's not a liability out there and he is not going to get injured by running into any more outfield fences?
Well, this kid looks about 45 to 60 games because defense. I will say, hey, you know what? We got a guy in center field can go get some balls. Please, this is a box for you. And this kid's been playing outfield all his life. I don't think he got any screws. You got a warning track behind you. And I think this kid, I said, you're not a gold glove. We need you because you can hit. We don't need you because you can make plays in the outfield. Catch the ball, hit next to you, around you, and we see the next time. Be Barry Carlos lead. You know, all the left fielders, Bonilla, all those guys, they're not gold glove, but they can help the team with the offense. And somebody had to tell him, say, hey, This is your size. Don't move out of there. When you touch dirt, stop. If that ball is over your head, too bad. That's a bad pitching. But I try to stay away because every time, last year I did it a few times. This year, one again, and hopefully that don't happen again. Because they really, you can see yesterday, they need him in the lineup. They want him in the lineup because, not because what he can do. He's present on the field in the lineup. He will make the manager think. He will make the pitchers in pitching that day, think about him, and the lineup, White Sox lineup, is a lot better with him when he's on.
Yeah, no doubt about that. Ozzie, thanks a ton. Great stuff.
Thanks, Ozzie.
Thank you, guy. Big day today.
Good stuff.
Boy, today, man. Gotta have it today. We're going to bring in Tommy Hottovy next. We'll get a chance to talk to the Cubs pitching coach, and we'll ask him some of these questions. You know, Tommy's been through COVID-19. Very curious to get his take on what happened with the Marlins, and you know, a very disturbing story that maybe they were all out partying. You don't want to say that, but Bob Nightingale did say that he'd heard something along those lines about them in Atlanta, and that would be really disappointing because they're letting down the entire sport, right, David? I don't know how else to feel about it.
Without a doubt, if that is true, then yeah, that was irresponsible, and on one hand, it's irresponsible. On the other hand, maybe it makes you feel better that the Major League Baseball has done a nice job of controlling the other 29 teams, but the Marlins let everybody down.
Tommy Hottovy next. Mullion Hall on the Score.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.